Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you happen to be on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins into the system that can actually poison metabolic pathways and slow your metabolism, causing your weight to plateau even in the face of stringent diet adherence. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol, a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination, easing the blahs that sometimes compromise your dietary resolve. The Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol is an easy way to get the exact combination of the targeted nutrients you need. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to purchase. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immunity protocols and much more. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Layla Mutin. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist. I have a master's degree in nutrition and exercise. I work on a daily basis with Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We see patients together, and I maintain, my own private practice in that same office. We are at 635 Madison Avenue. That's at 59th Street. If you'd like to make an appointment with me or with Dr. Hoffman, when you see Dr. Hoffman, you also get me, but you can also get me alone, meaning my own private practice. If you'd like to make an appointment, 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. You will speak to our very able assistant, Grimaldi. Grimaldi will give you all the details about fees, what to expect, all of that, and set up your appointment. Last week, I talked about, we were celebrating National Nutrition Month. That's the month of March. Hey, well, it's April. I'm adding a part two to National Nutrition Month's 19 Health Tips for 2019, and I got as far as number 10 last week. But let me start with a little recap of what I talked about last week, and you should tune into that podcast. You download the podcast at drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com is the place to go to download these podcasts. If you have any questions or topics of interest, the way to communicate with me is radioprogram@aol.com. That's radioprogram@aol.com. So, let me recap on the first 10 tips of the 19, the first 10 that I talked about last week, health tips for 2019 from the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Eat breakfast was number one. Number two was make half of your plate vegetables and fruit. Number three, watch portion sizes. Number four, be active. Number five, get to know your food labels. It's important to be literate in this regard. If you're not quite sure how to interpret this, consult with an RDN like myself. Number six, fix healthy snacks. Number seven, consult an RDN. I got ahead of myself there. Consult an RDN. Whether you want to lose weight, lower your health risks, or manage a chronic disease, you want to consult an expert. Registered dietitian nutritionists can help you by providing sound, easy-to-follow, personalized nutrition advice. Number eight, follow food safety guidelines. Number nine, drink more water, right? And it's worth reiterating that you want to quench your thirst with water instead of drinks with added sugars. Stay hydrated, drink plenty of water, especially if you're active, are an older adult, or live or work in hot conditions. So it's important to stay hydrated. And a reminder, to our older and elderly population. As we age, the ability to feel thirsty diminishes, to feel thirst diminishes. Therefore, you've got to be a little more vigilant in drinking some water, pure filtered water. And another thing, are you finding yourself hungry more often than not? What's going on here? It could be that you're thirsty. Hunger, you know, thirst often can masquerade as hunger. So if you just ate a couple of hours ago and you're hungry, quote, hungry again, it may not be hunger, it may be thirst. How do you find out? Drink a glass of water. Sometimes we have to feel the water in our mouth, on our tongue, to realize, oh, we are thirsty. This is delicious. Maybe you just needed to hydrate. Drink down that glass of water. You don't have to guzzle it. You could sip it. And wait a few minutes and see, are you still hungry? Maybe you were just thirsty. Great way to find out. And you've gotten some more water. Another thing about water drinking, this is worth mentioning, and I know I'm at number 9. Okay. Another thing worth mentioning is a lot of people complain that they're getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom to urinate once, maybe 2 or even 3 times a night. Men, I'm not talking to you with prostate issues or enlarged prostate. I'm talking specifically to people who may be consuming their water at the wrong time of day. A lot of people, because during the day they are out and about, they don't want to drink the necessary cups of water for that day because then they need to find a bathroom. So they do most of their water drinking at the end of the day. Well, all that end of the day water drinking translates to getting up in the middle of the night to go urinate, to go pee. So what I recommend is during the day, sip water all day long. Anytime after dinner, be ruled by your thirst. If you're thirsty, certainly drink water, but start slowing it down by then, unless, of course, you're thirsty. This may then become less trips to the bathroom during the night. Try it out. And do keep a glass on your night table of water. Sometimes you wake up with a dry mouth. Maybe you sleep with your mouth open. Maybe you snore. All good reasons to keep a glass of water on your night table. And when you get up in the morning, drink it. It's a great way to hydrate first thing in the morning. We are breaking the fast. Drink that water. Number 10, get cooking. And I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure that I talked about number 10 last week, but I'll just go over it quickly. Preparing foods at home can be healthy, rewarding, and cost-effective. Master some kitchen basics like dicing onions or cooking dried beans. The collection of planning and prep videos at eatright.org/videos will get you started. That's the video collection called Planning and Prep. These are videos that are available at eatright.org, eatright.org/videos. That can help get you started. So start there. So number 11, continuing on, celebrating National Nutrition Month, even though it's April, but it's a reminder to practice these all year long. Dine out without ditching goals. Yes, you can dine out without ditching your goals. I will often have people say to me, but you know, I eat out all the time. How can I eat healthy? You can make healthier choices in a restaurant. You can eat out and stick to your healthy eating plan. The key is to plan ahead, ask questions, and choose foods carefully. Hey, listen, oftentimes before I go to a restaurant, many restaurants have their own websites where you could look at their menu. I will often, ahead of time, scan the menu and say, oh, I'm going to have this or I'm going to have that, or to see what options are there that I would like to choose instead of having to, you know, make a decision at the restaurant with a bunch of people that I'm talking to and don't have too much time to look at the menu, right? So you can do this ahead of time. Check out to see if the restaurant you're going to has a website and take a look at their menu. jot down some good choices for you. So, compare nutrition information, if it's available. A lot of food chains, besides things like McDonald's, which, you know, I'm never a fan of unless you're in a food desert somewhere. But, you know, chain restaurants, your Outback Steakhouse, those kind of places, they've got their menus online. They've got calorie information. If not online, they'd certainly have them available on the menus. This steak dinner has, 820 calories. This particular Caesar salad has 910 calories. Yes, you heard me right. A lot of these salad entrees often have more calories than your protein entree, which is interesting. It's all the oil-laden dressings and things like that. So you can scan all of that, compare nutrition information, and look for healthier options that are grilled, baked, broiled, steamed. If you're looking to lower your calorie intake, don't order things that are in a sauce or a gravy because you're getting additional calories there too. You might want something grilled or broiled. Number 12, enact family meal time. This is important. Plan to eat as a family at least a few times each week. You know what? I wanna better that. Plan to eat as a family at dinner every day. Unless you've got kids scattered and some are in college and those schedules are different. Maybe there are night courses and things, and maybe you've got older children who are busy at night with other activities and stuff like that. But plan to eat as a family. If not every night, at least a few times each week. Set a regular meal time. No television, no phones, no electronic devices come to the table. And encourage mealtime talk. Get the kids involved in meal planning and cooking, and use this time to teach them about good nutrition. This is important because good nutrition habits are ingrained, instilled, imprinted in our formative years. This is important. Number 13, banish brown bag boredom. I like this. Whether it's for work or school, prevent brown bag boredom with easy to make healthy lunch ideas. Now, here are the ideas from the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and I'm going to give you my own ideas of things you can brown bag. What they're suggesting is try a whole wheat pita pocket with veggies and hummus, or a low-sodium vegetable soup with whole grain crackers, or a salad of mixed greens with low-fat dressing and a hard-boiled egg. Okay, I would say to you that whole wheat pita, if you don't have any problem with wheat or gluten, is a fine choice. The pita is actually less bread because it's thinner, right? So maybe you're getting a little less bread there. Packing it with veggies, hummus, that's a great idea. You could also get a little more protein in there if you wish. Maybe you'll have some chicken in there or something. A low-sodium vegetable soup with whole grain crackers. I say make your own soup, which you know will be low in sodium. You can control the salt. A salad of mixed greens? Absolutely. And a hard-boiled egg? Yes. With a low-fat dressing? No. I want you to use real food. Oftentimes, if you look at a bottle of dressing that's low-fat, when they remove the fat, they will tend to use junkier ingredients like modified food starches and things and other things of a questionable nature, right, to add texture to that. Eat full fat. Have a good quality olive oil and vinegar dressing, olive oil and lemon juice or lime juice, salt, pepper, herbs, spices, some chopped shallot or onion, a dollop of Dijon mustard into that dressing. That is a beautiful dressing. No reason to make it low fat. Fat is not the foe, people. It's sugar. Ha! Which brings me to number 14. Reduce added sugars. Foods and drinks with added sugars can contribute empty calories and little or no nutrition. That's right. Review ingredients on the food label to help identify sources of added sugar. Now, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics wants you to visit choosemyplate.gov for more information. choosemyplate.gov for more information. But, you know, choosemyplate.gov is entrenched with the food industry and including all of their particular foods and things. And it's generalized nutrition information for the public. And the assumption is that most of the public is healthy. That is not true. A lot of the public is overweight, obese, has metabolic syndrome, pre-diabetes, diabetes, other conditions. So I am not a fan ever of general nutrition information. That's why I believe that a visit to a qualified nutritionist should be mandatory after you visited your doctor, or not even after you visited your doctor. If you have particular concerns about your health, you could start with a visit to a nutritionist who will steer you in the right direction and make referrals to where you should go, be it your doctor or some other practitioner that you may get benefit from. Okay? So, number 15, eat seafood twice a week. Seafood, fish, and shellfish contains a range of nutrients, including healthy omega-3 fats. Salmon, trout, oysters, and sardines, all of my favorites right there, are higher in omega-3s and lower in mercury. This is true. Salmon, trout, sardines, these are lower in mercury. You might get a little organic arsenic from the oysters or shellfish, but, you know, you're not going to eat oysters all the time, right? Or clams, for that matter. But eat seafood twice a week. I'm wondering if they're saying twice a week because of the exposure to toxins. It can be very hard to source your seafood well. And there's a lot of seafood fraud, right? Just the way there's been olive oil fraud. Because so much olive oil may be sunflower oil masquerading as olive oil. Because the food industry also has a lot of crooks. In fact, just a little side trip here, the latest medical conference I went to, Dr. Hoffman did too, and you've heard us talk about it, the Integrative Healthcare Symposium. One of the biggest take-home messages we got was a presentation by Dr. Mark Hyman, who talked about the food industry and how it has its hands in the creation of so many scientific groups. I was amazed at how much Coca-Cola had in terms of the creation of scientific groups. And these scientific groups, they're supposed to be credible, right? But did you know Coca-Cola owns them, started them, or other food companies? Really, I was amazed. So there's a lot of super-duper lobbying going on in the food industry, right? And in the halls of government, as we know. All right, moving on. Number 16, explore new foods and flavors. Add more nutrition and eating pleasure by expanding your range of food choices. This is great. And you know what? It's also another important reason to have variety in your diet is to lower your exposure to toxins. Case in point. Don't eat tuna salad for lunch every day or every other day. That's a lot of exposure to mercury, right? Have salmon and trout and sardines. Have variety in your diet. It not only lowers your exposure to toxins, it increases your pleasure of food, of eating, mealtime. When shopping, make a point of selecting a fruit, vegetable, or other food that's new to you or your family. Go choose it. Go check it out. Get online. Look for recipes on how to cook with that or how to prepare that particular vegetable or fruit. Or maybe you've never used quinoa before or amaranth. Or maybe you've never cooked kasha before, which is buckwheat, if you're on a gluten-free diet. Go explore how to cook all that if you're having these gluten-free whole grains or other whole grains. 17. Experiment with plant-based meals. Expand variety in your menus with budget-friendly meatless meals. Many recipes that use meat and poultry can be made without. It's true. You could substitute beans. Maybe you're going to substitute some tempeh, which, in my opinion, is a little better than tofu. It's less goitrogenic because tempeh has been fermented. And it may be a little healthier than tofu if you're using soy in your diet. Eating a variety of plant foods can help. Vegetables, beans, lentils, these are all great substitutes. Try including, pardon me, one meatless meal per week to start. You can do that. There's no reason you can't have a meatless meal one day, unless you have extreme blood sugar issues and adrenal issues and things where you really need to increase your fat, your protein. Avocado is a terrific choice, by the way. And have you ever grilled a portobello mushroom? It's like eating a steak, a portobello steak. Try this with cauliflower. Have a cauliflower steak. And the way to do that is to take the middle section of cauliflower and then put it on your grill. You'd be surprised. You can try these things. And you're getting all of these nutritious vegetables. And we're all fans of that. I certainly am. 18. Make an effort to reduce food waste. And you know what? That's something I will be writing about in the newsletter. If you haven't read it, if I haven't done it already, it will be there. Either this week or it may have been last week. I think it will be this week. Make an effort to reduce food waste. Check out what foods you have on hand before stocking up at the grocery store. Always do that. See what you have available. Plan meals based on leftovers and only buy what you will use or freeze within a couple of days. That's really good advice. Managing these food resources at home can help save nutrients and money. There's a whole lot of food waste, and you will read all about it in my article on intelligent medicine. Number 19, the last one. Slow down at mealtime. Instead of eating on the run, which I know so many of us do, try sitting down and focusing on the food you're about to eat. Dedicating time to enjoy the taste and textures of foods can have a positive effect on your food intake. When you slow down, you become full sooner. You're able to enjoy the meal longer. Your pleasure now has not only been enhanced, it's been lengthened. Right? Enjoy your meal. Put down the utensils between bites. Enjoy the company that you are sharing the meal with. All good advice. All for National Nutrition Month, and I know it's now April when you're listening to this podcast, but it's a reminder to eat healthy all year long, to instill good habits in yourself, in your children, and be well. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.